Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. We're going to talk first of a two-part conversation, actually, with Dr. Chris Bergwald, talking about how we can deal with some of the issues of our day, particularly the issue of relativism, using one of the books of Dr. Edward Schrie as our base for conversation. So hope you'll stick around for that conversation. Jean Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Donna Cannon with the first and second reading, Father Grant Lacey with the gospel.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in the large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then why does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Amalites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Perga and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we all were given to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week. From the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, the people of the Diocese of Sioux Falls will gather together at the Cathedral of St. Joseph in Sioux Falls June 22nd at 6 p.m. to participate in this year's Fortnight for Freedom and Red Mass. Bishop Paul J. Swain will preside. The Red Mass provides an opportunity to pray and give thanks for the men and women who serve our communities in public office and in the legal profession. It combines this year with the ongoing call for protection of religious liberty. You can read and see more about the Red Mass and the Fortnight for Freedom effort in the June edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, a historic Arizona chapel built by artist Ted DeGrazia was heavily damaged in a fire this past week. The blaze destroyed much of the chapel's roof and several murals by the late artist. A statement from DeGrazia's gallery in the Sun posted on its Facebook page this week, saying that there was no information on the cause of the fire, which was under investigation. Sitting adjacent to the gallery, the tiny adobe mission in the Sun is frequented by visitors each day. Some leave religious and personal mementos and written prayers on its adobe bricks. de Grazia built the chapel in 1952 in honor of Southwest missionary Jesuit Father Eusebio Kino and dedicated it to Our Lady of Guadalupe, two inspirations for the artist. It's part of the gallery and other de Grazia buildings preserved by the artist's foundation. De Grazia, who was raised Catholic but later described himself as not a church-going man, once said of his mission, "It's not Catholic, it's just an old chapel for anybody who wants to go in there, whether Christian or non-Christian." Pope Francis has named Holy Cross Father William A. Wack, who is a pastor in Texas, to be the Bishop of Pensacola, Tallahassee, in Florida. Bishop-designate Wack, who is 49, has been pastor of St. Ignatius Martyr Parish in Austin, Texas, since 2009. He succeeds Bishop Gregory L. Parks, who was named last November to head the Diocese of St. Petersburg in Florida. The appointment was announced in Washington this week by Archbishop Christoph Pierre, Apostolic Nuncio to the United States. The date of Bishop-designate Wack's episcopal ordination has not yet been determined. Asad Shaftari, who once fought in the name of his Christian faith, is now working for peace alongside those who would have once been his enemies in the Lebanese Civil War. Shaftari is a member of Fighters for Peace, a small group of former militiamen from Lebanon's various sects. He and others are determined to prevent future generations from falling to a similar fate. The group sponsors workshops, lectures, and events, and whenever and wherever they can, confessing their wrongdoings and showing that redemption and reconciliation are possible, and so is war if the roots of conflict are not openly addressed. Shaftari dedicates much of his time engaging with Lebanon's youth through the organization, a group of about 25 former Civil War fighters who over the last 3 years have spoken with more than 7,000 students, produced documentaries and theatrical productions telling their stories, and run a conflict resolution summer camp. "I really believe there is a price to pay for peace," Shaftari said. "The first price I paid was standing in front of the Lebanese. I did what I did, standing almost nude. Whatever price to pay to avoid new civil wars, I'm ready to pay," he said. "That is what I've been doing since then," he added. Never speak, act, or make a decision without first listening to the Holy Spirit, who moves, troubles, and inspires the heart, Pope Francis has advised. "A cold and calculating heart that is closed to the Holy Spirit results in a faith that is ideological," the Pope said this week during a morning mass in the chapel of Domus Sancte Marte. "Knowing God and his commandments and being good are not enough," the Pope said. "One must also receive God's gift of the Holy Spirit and let him trouble the heart. If people were to get a spiritual electrocardiogram," the Pope asked, "would it be flatlined because the heart is hardened, unmoved, and emotionless, or would it be pulsating with the prompting and prods of the Spirit? A Christian cannot just listen to their head and calculated reason," he said. "They must learn to listen and discern what the Holy Spirit is saying to their hearts too, because the Holy Spirit is the master of discernment." With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Gene, that's a great story to end the news on this Pentecost Sunday.
Exactly.
So thanks for sharing that. Thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we welcome back Dr. Chris Bergwald. And Dr. Chris, this may be the most ambitious Catholic Views interview that you and I at least have undertaken. And I want to preface it with that because it's a little different topic even than sometimes we've talked about. I was inspired, if you will, to talk about this topic because of a book I recently finished by Edward Schrie called "Who Am I to Judge?" Responding to relativism with logic and love, the thought that occurred to me is that years ago, the faith was transmitted in a very different way, mm-hmm. and perhaps not in the detail that we would, in a sense, expect today. That no longer happens the way it used to for a whole variety of reasons, some of which we could talk about as right. we go along as well today, family systems have changed and so forth. But I think more than ever, people really need to have an understanding, an explanation of why we believe what we believe, yep. and then how do I share that?
Right.
That's what this book inspired me about and why I wanted to spend some time on Catholic Views to talk about that with you.
Right. Yep. Yeah, it's... Well, okay.
That's a long introduction.
That's a long introduction. I'm going to let you continue to tee it up because I know that you've got a way that you want to go, so I don't want to dive in.
No. I think it's important that you do share kind of your reaction to that.
Yeah.
That open.
And so, and when you were originally proposed the topic, Jerry, I was really several of the things that you just mentioned that you had shared with me previously really struck me. I think One of the first things, this is just for me, stream of consciousness. You talked about how in the past,
right,
it wasn't as detailed or whatever. And as I shared with you off the air previously, I think partly that's because, if this makes sense, I'll explain it. If it doesn't, we didn't need to. In the past, it was certainly in our country, in the past, there was definitely the reality of anti-Catholic atmosphere.
Right.
So Catholics pretty well, in some ways, kept to themselves. That changed in the 60s. John F. Kennedy is elected first right. Catholic, right. Et cetera, et cetera. So things started to shift. And today, there's not that... the same sort of anti-Catholic bias or prejudice in our culture that there used to be, which is a great thing. Having said that, though, in other ways, while there may have been a sort of anti-Catholic bias or prejudice in the United States, by and large, though, the culture had a generally Christian tenor
right.
or drift.
Right.
Protestant, yes, in that broad sense, but still Christian. That is changing. Mm-hmm. And so in the past, where many of the things, while there would have been certainly disagreements about the Pope and the sacraments, on fundamental moral issues, there was widespread agreement among American citizens.
Right.
And because our society has shifted over the last 40, 50 years, and historically probably the precedent for that goes even back much further, but the reality is that that's shifting now. And so now, for other Christians, but certainly for us as Catholics, it requires, if you will, more effort to consciously, intellectually embrace our faith, and certainly to live it out, and definitely to share that with other people.
So we're talking about, in a sense, really big issues, cultural shifts that have created a different sort of dynamic
yep.
than once existed. I'm thinking particularly as a parent now, and I know this concerns you too, as a parent. How do I get there? Because it's I'm not being supported by the culture. I'm not being supported in a lot of different ways. And frankly, I think we have a couple of generations where that's the case, where now we have this vacuum.
Right, right. So this is my sense, and based on your experience, tell me, feel free to correct me or add to this. I think in the past, parents, by and large, they lived the faith in home. So they were giving their children a lived experience of the faith. And then they were able to rely on the parochial school system for the intellectual dimension, for the intellectual formation of the faith. And that's still the case in many places. Obviously, Catholic schools have declined in a number of ways. But thinking of our diocese, we have 20-some Catholic schools mm-hmm. across our diocese. So still a good, strong Catholic school system, at least here in Eastern South Dakota. However, what we're finding is that's no longer enough. That because the culture has changed its flow, if you will, so much, that parents are maybe realizing are realizing, as you and I have discussed, that maybe what we were able to rely on in the past, living out at home and then schools taking care of the intellectual dimension, that intellectual dimension might have to be augmented, if you will, at home as well.
I think further that we as parents, in this generation in particular, my generation, we may not even know what we don't know.
Right.
And my point in that is, we may have contributed to these things and contributed to the sense of relativism that we experience in our world unknowingly.
Right.
In the way that we parented.
Right. Right. So unknowingly, unwittingly, unintentionally, certainly,
right.
Ended up creating a situation where, to again use the title of Dr. Shree's book, "Who Am I to Judge?" Now that's echoing a famous now statement that Pope Francis had made a few years ago. So there is a truth to the question, but in our culture, in our society, it really is about. Can you read the subtitle again for the book?
Responding to Relativism with Logic and Love.
So responding to relativism. So there is this dominant idea, even among many American Catholics and other Christians, for that matter, that moral truth or religious truth is relative. It varies from person to person. And not only is that's certainly true, but what relativism says is, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay for you to think what you do about moral or religious view X. And it's okay that I have a different position on topic X than you do.
And you know, you can go along for certain ways with that until you get to a certain point and something will come up, and it does,
right,
in life. And you go, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense at
right.
all. And
right.
now you've in a sense, you've stepped out onto the edge of the bridge and you're not quite sure how to get back.
And I think we don't know, we've gotten out to the edge of the precipice.
Yeah.
And we don't know how to back away.
Or should I back away, or should
right.
should I make the leap?
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
And I think the reality is we got to figure that out.
Yeah, and so that's why I think going the challenge, I think, for, you know, and again, maybe unintentionally, it's our fault to some degree that we got here. But what do we do now, I think, is the key thing. And that's why books like Dr. Shree's, I think, are so important. I haven't read it yet. You won't let me borrow your copy.
I will eventually. But I know you know all this stuff already. Anyway.
Okay. So just real quickly, what was your take when you read it? What was the, was this high intellectual prose that required?
No, I think he does a really nice job of bringing it down to a level that just about anybody can understand. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, you won't have to kind of take your time through a couple of sections of it where he is talking about, in a sense, the classic worldview, which I think would be the familiar for older Catholics would be kind of the familiar teachings of the church, but the framework for them, not just the what they are, but the why. Why do we think the way we think, which is so important today if we're going to help people grow.
So two things. First of all, I asked about the book because I wanted to see. So you would recommend this to
absolutely
any adult with a high school education could pick this up.
I would recommend it to parents, for certainly, but I'd also, if you could get your kids to read a book, I'd recommend the kids read the book because I think it helps them understand, you know, why does the church act this way? Why does the church promote things in the way it promotes? Why does the church care about certain issues and the way that it cares about those issues? It helps you understand that.
So this book is helpful. And then I want to go back to, because a couple times you've talked about as you know from our conversations and previous appearances of mine in Catholic Views, my first favorite question is why? And you've talked repeated a couple times already in this episode about how that's a question that we need to be encouraged, that we need to ask ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and that we need to encourage those that we love to ask, and not just to ask, but to explore the answers.
Yeah.
I literally, as we're recording this, Jerry, just last night, I had an hour long conversation with two kind young women who are in white shirts and black ties. They were two Mormons, 20 years old, mm-hmm. both of them. So less than half of my age at this point, and that's scary to say. And afterwards, talking with my rising eighth grader, to use the current term, my oldest, Elena, is going into eighth grade. And we're just talking about, and she's like, why were you? Why talk to them? I mean, they think what they think. They're not going to be open. You think what you're thinking. Are you going to be open? Da, da, da. And I was, no, but this is a matter of what's true. This is what the nature of reality is, Elena.
Right.
If somebody believes that 2 + 2 = 13, I literally said this to her, I want them to understand that I'm going to be kind and charitable and gentle, but that's wrong.
Right.
2 + 2 = 13.
Yeah.
It's 4. So. Why do we believe what we believe as Catholics? I think we need to start asking that question, and not in the, as I often jokingly say, not the way that my young children ask it. Why? Not like, do I have to, but why? Like, why is this true?
Yeah. Dr. Shree does a nice job of tying this into the virtues and explains that really it's the use of the virtues that help us kind of get to where we need to get to kind of make our way through this issue. And I think as we explore this a little bit further, and I suspect we're going to end up with a two-parter here,
okay.
because I don't think we can get through all of this. I hope that we can explore those virtues a little bit in a way that might help people see the connection and find their own way, whether they read the book or not, find their own way to deepen their own two things: deepen their relationship with God and help them to explain
that relationship
with God. The why,
yeah, and the virtues relate to my second favorite question, which is so what. So our faith can, if our faith is doing in our life what it ought to do, it should manifest itself in the way that I live. I don't just believe differently, but I live and I act differently, and that's what the virtues are about. So I'm just teasing up. To me, the connection between what we're talking about here, the connection between what we believe, our doctrines, and the virtues is the connection between what I believe and how I live.
Yeah.
So our faith, why do we believe this? And then what is it? So what? What does it matter to my life? There is a deep connection. If I take my faith seriously, it will change me and how I live.
Here's the heart of where I hope we get to with all of this conversation. And I want people to understand this. This is about love. Mm-hmm. This is about God's love for us. It's about Jesus. The name of Jesus is, we know, what saves us.
Right.
And that name means love.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
Yep.
So any of the things, anything else that we talk about, we want to make sure that people understand this is about love. It's not about a bunch of rules.
Yep.
But the love has some order to it.
Right. Because, so, particularly with other, so love of God, I think, is by and large pretty clear. When it comes to loving our neighbor, what does it mean to love someone? It means, it doesn't necessarily mean, it can include how I feel towards them.
Mm-hmm.
But the easy example for me as a parent of children, I don't always feel positive towards my children. But in the midst of how I feel...
Do your children listen to the radio programs that you do?
I don't know if they will this time or
okay.
not. We'll find
out. I just want to make sure that daddy loves you.
I think... No. I'm getting there. Don't steal the punchline. I think they know this already, though, that their dad doesn't always feel positively toward, emotionally positive towards them.
Yeah.
And yet he loves them.
Yeah.
Not despite, but even in the midst. So if I'm frustrated with them because of their disbehavior, I love them in the middle of and through that. I don't pause loving them while I'm frustrated. I always, because my love is deeper than just my emotional state. My love is my desire for them to have the best, for them to live life. My desire is for them to have the good with a capital G, which is ultimately the God with a capital G.
And as the scripture says, if a father can do that for his children, imagine what God can do.
Exactly.
The one who created us, the one who loves us more than anything, more than anyone, imagine what he wants for
right.
us.
Exactly. So I think the other thing too about this, this is about your excellent point to me that this is all about our love first of God, but then also of our neighbor. I think people oftentimes do look at the church's moral teachings, especially those that are more countercultural today than they used to be, and conclude that we're intolerant or even hateful and bigoted. And I think we need to do a better job of, first of all, understanding what those teachings are. Secondly, so we understand how they're not hateful or bigoted. And thirdly, then the tough part, how can I explain that to other people? Because again, if what we believe is true, if it's the nature of reality, then our proposal is living reality is what fulfills me.
Right.
I need to live reality as it is if I want to be fulfilled. That's what true happiness and joy comes from, living reality as it is. So if I really love you, Jerry, I want you to know the nature of reality.
Right.
And we believe that God has revealed that to us. Now, I think a lot of Catholics might question that. Well, how do we really know? And that's why this opens a huge can of worms.
Yeah.
But I think we need to dive into the worms, if you will, to understand that this is not about us imposing arbitrary rules. This is about us inviting people to live who they are.
And that's why it's so important to have this framework, because otherwise people do pick and choose. And
right.
And it's like, well, you're just making arbitrary rules. Well, no.
No.
There's actually a cohesion
yep.
to all of this. It actually does all fit together
yep.
and make some sense. Just want to touch on two words that Dr. Shree helped me understand kind of the sense of the relativism that exists in our world today. He uses the example of a young man who was Catholic, going to church, going to adoration, very involved, but who kept using, as he provided examples of something that might be right or wrong. And the gentleman, the young man, kept saying, "Well, for me, that would be wrong.
Right.
But for another, it might not be.
Right.
For me," and that's kind of the whole understanding. And the Catholic view would be, "Well, it's either right or it's wrong, because of this larger framework that we're talking about. It's not individually right or wrong. It's right or wrong.
Right. Right. There are again." because it's the nature of reality. The way we, you and I, as different as we might be, are both human beings. Right. We're created by God to be a certain type of creature. And as such, there's a best way for us to live out who and what we are. And if I live contrary to that, then I'm doing self-harm. That I mean, it might not seem that way, but if I live contrary to my nature, which is what sin is living contrary to my nature, then I'm doing damage to myself. So the loving thing for you to do is to invite me to reconsider how I'm, because that's the reality of what I'm doing.
Yeah, and he did that. It was fascinating. It's a fascinating little exercise that he led this young man through. I mean, the last question he asked him about right or wrong, you know, for me, was about flying into the Twin Towers. And the and the young man at first said, well, you know, for that's obviously a very wrong thing, but maybe for them it wasn't.
Right.
And Dr. Sri is like, I don't even know how to respond to that. So he eventually invited him to adoration again. And then ultimately the young man came back and said, I realized I was trying to justify something in my own life that I'm doing that's not right. I was trying to justify it. You know, he did have an aha moment, the young man did. So it's possible, I think, to help people get there. And to understand maybe why they are where they are at.
Yep. Yeah. Oftentimes, there is the possibility of projection. Sometimes we are unintentionally trying to justify our behavior, so it's easy to fall into this relativism that way because we want to avoid taking a hard look at ourselves.
Yeah. Much more to come. We're going to talk a little bit more broadly about the Catholic view, if you will, why we think the way we do, the framework for all of that in the second part of this conversation. This is Catholic Views. Dr. Chris Bergwell joins us this morning, and we'll be back next week with a little more of this conversation.
Great.
Well, Gene, a couple of really glorious days this past week for the Diocese of Sioux Falls.
It's very exciting. The cathedral was filled to the brim.
Of course, the deacon ordination on Thursday and the priest ordination on Friday. And now this weekend, first masses of Thanksgiving by all of the guys. It's a wonderful event.
Very exciting time. It's incredible.
Yeah. Grateful to the Lord for his blessing of these new men to serve the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Now let's look ahead just a little bit. Of course, we mentioned this is Pentecost Sunday. It's kind of almost back to ordinary time. And you mentioned, of course, the Fortnight for Freedom coming up in just a couple of weeks.
Along
with the Red Mass. And we hope a lot of activities around this whole issue.
Parishes have that opportunity to do stuff in their own parish. But again, if you want to come to the cathedral, 6 o'clock on June 22nd will be a great opportunity to participate with others in the diocese.
All right. Well, that's our time for Catholic Views. We'll be back with you next Sunday.